to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Tuesday morning. As always, 251-343-0106 is the text line. Respond accordingly. Coming up tomorrow, real quick, Lindy Blanchard running for governor. Chris Horn running for Secretary of State. And as we do every Wednesday, we hear from Sean Ross, SR Communications, and the Britt campaign. Joining us now on the line, very pleased to bring on my next guest, represents the 3rd Congressional District of Alabama. Always very kind with this time for this program, Congressman Mike Rogers. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing wonderfully. Thank you.
That's great to hear. Great to hear. A lot going on nationally. We're approaching this election season, the midterms. Obviously, Alabama's primary is next week, but just a lot going on here when it comes to federal issues. And we'll kick it off with gas prices, inflation. I gotta assume you're hearing a lot about this back at home in your district, and it seems to be really hitting the state hard.
Yeah, this is pretty painful for everybody. And the fact is, you know, everybody was already concerned with inflation and what it costs to go to the grocery store and just seeing empty shelves at the grocery stores. But then you throw on top of it these historically high gas prices that just continue to climb. It's backbreaking. I mean, you know, we live in Alabama where it, you know, we don't use public transportation. Your public transportation is your truck. And, you know, when you're in a family of, you know, three or four or five people, everybody has to have a vehicle to get around rural Alabama. And when it's costing you $80 to $90 to fill up your car or your truck, and that's four or five vehicles, it's backbreaking. And people are in pain and they don't see any relief coming. And it's just so aggravating that this is all something that was completely avoidable, and it's a creation of this administration. You know, when this administration came into office, he closed off drilling on federal lands offshore, closed down the pipeline coming down from Canada to our coastal area where we do the refining, and just created this, manufactured this problem that we got, and now he's continuing to refuse to acknowledge that and reverse those policies.
Well, tell me, what do you make of, you know, one of the big things, and you know, we always talk about, when we talk about the empty shells, the baby formula shortage just seems like something this administration has been very slow to react to. And that really hits people home. It hits an emotional chord as well. This mishandled as much as we think it is. What's your take on that?
Absolutely. And the thing that's the most frustrating about this, I understand that the largest manufacturer, you know, had a safety issue and they needed to close it down. And everybody can understand that. You know, we don't want dangerous baby formula out there. But the administration has the authority to allow foreign sources of baby formula to come in from Canada and other countries to alleviate this, and they just are like asleep at the wheel. And, you know, this is serious for young mothers out there and fathers to know they can't find baby formula, and then to find out that they're shipping pallets of it down to the border to give to illegals coming across the border just makes it even worse. But, yeah, I just don't understand how lethargic this administration is when it comes to dealing with these very real problems that are in people's face. On something like this, baby formula especially, but now on the oil, the gas prices, I think they want this. You know, he came into office when he was running for office. He said in a debate, there will be no ability for the oil industry to continue to drill when I'm president. So this is all manufactured. You know, they want these prices to be high so that renewables can then appear competitive. So when he says, you know, gives lip service to, you know, this is the oil company's problems because they're not drilling on more of the leases they've got. He knows good and well it's a lie because they have the lease, but they don't have the federal permits. And his administration won't give the permits. So, you know, all this stuff is manufactured that we're dealing with. From the inflation, it's his fault for throwing all this money out in these last spending bills. And then gas is his fault, solely his fault. The baby formula, I don't think he manufactured that problem, but he is completely capable of giving the American people relief and just can't seem to wake up and pull the trigger and say, okay, at least while we're having the shortage, we're going to let foreign sources sell their baby formula here.
On the gas prices, isn't a dirty little secret this, that this administration's so wedded to the environmental left? And like you said, it's as if they are welcoming this because they think this is the best path to demand destruction and less of a reliance on fossil fuels because it's a green ideology, but not willing to fess up to it, not willing to acknowledge it because they know it's politically unpopular. And that's why there does seem to be these token gestures that don't really amount to much when it comes to this administration and energy.
That's right. I mean, I firmly believe this is manufactured on purpose and it's being driven by the far left, which seems to own Joe Biden, who before he became president was much more moderate than this. But this is the Obama people that are around him, and they are very far left when it comes to energy and what they want to force this country to do as far as moving away from fossil fuels. And listen, I'm fine with moving to electric vehicles, but it needs to happen organically and naturally. We don't need to be putting the American people in this terrible pain, economic pain, while we make the transition. I mean, you talk to the auto industry, and they'll tell you, 10 or 12 years from now, you won't be able to buy a gasoline-powered automobile on the commercial market. They'll still be, they'll all be EVs then. But that doesn't mean we will get rid of all the gasoline-powered vehicles for at least 20 or 25 years because they'll go through their natural life. So refined oil is going to be a part of our life for decades as we make this transition. And I just think it's malfeasance on the part of the administration to be trying to force this to go faster with these artificially enhanced prices that they're causing by this lack of drilling. And then I find it just obnoxious when the president goes to the Middle East and asks Saudi Arabia and other countries to increase their drilling to give us price relief. The fact is, if he was worried about the environment, he'd want us to do the drilling because we do it more cleanly. He's just completely hypocritical.
Well, have you ever seen anything like this? I mean, even Obama, he at least backed off of some of the rhetoric, I think, heading into those 2010 midterms. But this just continues to, like, it's a doubling down on this kind of woke-ish agenda and just with a reckless disregard for what the polls are saying, the politics of the moment. And I think the midterms in November are just going to be just a real, real big win for Republicans and devastating for Democrats.
Yeah, I do think this is going to be historically a landslide election, and it's all being caused by this administration. They seem completely indifferent to it, and they do keep doubling down. I don't understand it, but when you see his favorables at 39% and on the decline, no end in sight, that's a recipe for a historic landslide election that would give us a large majority in the House and a majority in the Senate. And it'll be a different show then because we'll have control of the purse strings and we'll be able to have more of an impact on the policies that come out of that White House. I don't see him thing between now and the election.
Last question, we'll get you out of here on this. I know you got to get to a meeting here shortly. Congressman, give us kind of a Ukraine update. You are the ranking member of the Armed Services Committee. You got a sense of what's going on there?
Yeah, it's a pretty positive turn of events. Yeah, and I want to make sure your listeners understand that they should take ownership of how well Ukraine's doing, because the United States military, along with our NATO allies, has been in Ukraine since 2014, training their military. I went over there in 2014 right after they took Ukraine, and we had just started set up our training camps. And the Ukrainian army that I saw at that time was a shadow of what it is now. They were not a professional army in any way that we would see. But we spent 8 years over there training them up, and more importantly, their leadership up into a fine professional military. And that's one of the main reasons they've been so effective at pushing back the Russian army. Now, I'm thrilled that, we finally got Biden to send them lethal aid, although I would make the point that I was, along with my counterpart on the Senate side, pushing the administration last October to give that lethal aid before the invasion, and we might have deterred them, but that was, you know, Biden's call. He didn't want to do it. He felt like that was going to be provocative and escalatory, but in any event, he's finally given them the aid that they need, and Ukraine is retaking ground now. They have stopped the advance in the Donbass, Kharkiv. They're taking territory back from the Russians. I fully expect Ukraine to prevail in this conflict. And I don't see Ukraine agreeing to cede any territory as a part of any ceasefire to Russia. So this is going to be a traumatic loss for Russia in the end. I think it already is. But also, I think it's important for us to be mindful that we need Ukraine to win this because of the message it sends to China about their aspiration to take Taiwan, which would be a real problem for us. So, and we need Ukraine to win because we don't want Russia to be successful there and then think they can take one of the NATO countries, which would then trigger our involvement. And we do not want boots on the ground over there. We want Ukraine to win and to send a signal to Russia that that kind of naked aggression will never be successful.
Carson, we've been very kind with your time this morning. Best of luck to you going ahead, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, sir. See you.
Thank you. That was Congressman Mike Rogers of the 3rd Congressional District there joining us from Washington, D.C. He gets kind of update there on Ukraine. 251-343-0106. If you want to respond or hit up us on the text line, that's your best opportunity to do so. Speaking of the aforementioned text line, why didn't Biden go to Waukesha? What did extremists kill people at a Christmas parade? And then says the animal in Buffalo admitted he targeted Buffalo because it's gun control made resistance less likely. The shameless opportunisticness of this administration here to attack a media outlet is not a small deal, because you know the ideology of the left, guys. When it comes to the Second Amendment, when it comes to gun control, they have left gun control at the side, and they're going after conservative media. That's the tactic here. It's incredible. They're making this about a rhetoric rather than a violence or a mental illness thing or whatever. They're making this about Tucker Carlson made me do it. Just think about that. That is so anti-American in my mind. With 10 dead people, and that's what's going on here. Did you even get a trip to Buffalo from Joe Biden? Irish Indian is $120 to fill up a full size truck. Yeah, well, that's the point. They want you to use less gas to drive less, or to look at electric vehicles. They're creating in the economy a destruction of demand of fossil fuels, and they're hoping that you will say, hey, you know what? Maybe I should buy that electric vehicle. Maybe I should buy that hybrid vehicle. And if they're able to do that, then they achieve their objective, and they really believe in this global warming stuff. But it's also this. Let's not kid ourselves. There is a lobby in this country that wants to push the country in that direction of those type of vehicles and away from gas-powered combustion engines. They want batteries. They want – that is what they see as a way of the future, a way to make money. Sean says, it's controlled demolition, Jeff. Infiltrate, destroy, and rebuild. Yeah, but – this country, we do love our fossil fuels. There's also this, the left has this, their utopia. We would all take Amtrak to work, I guess. And instead of your 15, 20, 30 minute commute, you would get to work in 3 hours. But they all live in these big cities where mass transit and public transportation is readily available. And I think a lot of their constituents just don't understand the world's a big place. Alabama's a big place. Oklahoma's a big place. Texas is a big place. These places, there's not going to be a bus system that's going to service. And Mobile's a populated county. Baldwin County is a populated county. And mass transit just still won't work in a place like that, more or less the more rural areas. Terry, the Republicans choked when they had a majority with Obama and with Trump. They need to quit beating a dead horse, that if they want more power, they would stop the left. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Just go away.